All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 7 of the Confused Breakfast Podcast. Do you remember the pure joy and excitement of a trip to the local movie store as a young kid? The excitement of crane kicking your way up and down the aisles, browsing the names and the artwork, and finally deciding on the movie you're going to take home with you? Yes, it's hard to beat the ease of the modern era and streaming platforms where you don't even have to leave your house, but there was something truly special about making that trip as a child, picking a movie out by hand, and falling in love with it when you got home. On this podcast, we revisit and dissect some of our favorite childhood movies from the movie rental store era to see if they still hold up. I'm your host, Mike Schulte, and joining me as always, Black Belt Karate Masters Sean Pryor and AJ Vins. How the heck are you?
What's up? What's up? What's up?
Sweep the leg.
I made it to yellow belt.
Did you really?
I did.
Wait, wow. For reals?
Yeah. My mom, I'll
is
just...
Is that the beginning belt?
That's the second one. There's white, and this is Taekwondo, by the way. My mom, I'll just start off by saying, is a fourth degree black belt in Taekwondo.
So, yikes. All right.
We'll get more into that later and how that affected my life.
Rad.
Well, AJ, what did your parents specialize in?
Insurance.
Okay.
So that's all I got.
Well, it sure is great to have everybody back joining us after the Christmas holidays. We're going to start off with a review.
Review time.
Woo. So this one comes, we've had a lot of great reviews lately. I'm trying to keep up with them, but they keep coming in. This one is from St. Lou Sue. We love this podcast. Mike, Sean, and AJ make us laugh out loud, take us back in time to relive our movie watching memories, and bring us so much insight to every movie that they review. The episodes just keep getting better.
Cool, man.
St. Lou Sue, I have a feeling I know who that is, but I'm just... I'm not going to acknowledge who this is, but because I don't want to be wrong, but I think I know who that person is.
Okay.
Well, thank you for that. It's my mom. In fact, I messaged you guys. My mom is an avid listener. Hello, hello, Sue.
Hi.
And
hi, Sue.
She wanted so badly to know what you guys look like. You know, she's like, I like to know who I'm listening to, and I want to know whose voice. She goes, Is Sean the one that swears more than everybody else? I go, yes, that is Sean.
Yeah. Okay.
So we really appreciate everybody. If you can drop us a review on Facebook or your favorite podcast platform, we will read it on air eventually. If you don't know how to leave a review on the podcast, do it on the Facebook page. It's pretty easy stuff, right?
And we haven't got all of our moms in on the reviews yet, so those will be coming. Just so you guys know.
I think so.
I mean, we got to do it somehow.
Yeah.
If you're not going to do it, we'll ask our moms.
And I did not ask my mom to do this, okay? But still pretty awesome.
In case you're wondering what kind of ins you have, though, to get in on this review time, you know. You guys got to start buttering us up a little bit or something, you know?
I completely
agree. Make us a casserole or
that's
something.
Right.
Come on.
Well, now that we're finally done arguing whether Die Hard is a Christmas movie or not, thank God.
Thank God.
Because Lethal Weapon's more of a Christmas movie. That's fine. Yeah. It's fine. We'll move forward. That was it. I just wanted the last word, okay?
That's perfect.
You got it. I guess you got it.
Good. Let's shelf that for another 11 months. In rewatching today's movie, I had a realization that nothing in my high school was super cool, right? Like, there wasn't this super cool thing that you had to do to be awesome. It was just like everything kind of had its coolness, right? Like we're in our movie today. You know, there's the thing that the cool kids did. It was karate, right?
Yeah. Rode dirt bikes.
Yeah, apparently, right? My school didn't really have much. Like, sports were cool, but there wasn't, like, the one sport you had to do to be a super cool guy. There was zero music scene. You know, I know some high schools have a band, like, where a lot of kids make bands and they play shows. There was none of that. I was, like, one of the only guys that played music in my school. So did you guys have, like, a cool thing in your high school that you had to do to be cool?
Dude, my high school was like the anti-clicky high school. It's really weird. You know, so here's the thing. I never understood high schools on TVs because like, yes, there were people it's like, yeah, okay. Like there are some goth kids and there are some kids who played football. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. They're cheerleaders. Yeah. You know that they're cheerleaders because it's game day and they're wearing their cheerleaders. Yeah,
that's
like, okay, that's, but then like you saw so many people intermingle. It was kind of ridiculous. So like, it's one of those things. It's like, yeah, I don't really get what you're going through, kid.
So wait, is this a movie television created thing or did this happen in your high school?
No, I think so too. I, in my high school, I mean, I was like I would say a bit of an outsider, but it was like pretty much like half my fault. Like if I would have just, you know, like
60%.
Yeah. If I would have just like went up to someone and be like, hey, but, I'm kind of cool. If you just talk to me a little bit, I was just shy, you know, but, no, not really. I mean, there was the jocks and there was the people play football, but they weren't like, no, they weren't like over here right. Doing the jock thing. They were intermingling with pretty much everybody. So maybe it is kind of like an 80s thing.
Did you play sports? I know you played football, right?
So, well, I played a little bit of football in like middle school, man.
Oh, you didn't do high school football?
So I wanted to go into high school football, but my knee, I had an issue with my knee and I had to stop skateboarding and I had to stop playing football. I had to do it. Otherwise I'd probably be like, I don't know.
You'd be a retired pro right now.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. I would have been a Hawkeye and then I would have been, but, I was in choir. I was in choir.
Was that a cool thing?
A lot of people were in choir, man. Like a lot of people were in choir in my high school.
Well, do you ever see, you know how like nowadays, apparently the really cool thing is like show choir and thing. Like, apparently that is a really cool thing that you do in high school.
I don't know what's cool anymore.
I don't either. Cause that was not cool in my high school.
I don't know what's the GOAT and the NSFWs anymore. I don't know about what's ratchet and what's not. If it's on Fleek or not.
You're so out of touch, bro. Right. Did you play sports?
No, I didn't do anything.
Well, this content's riveting.
No, I didn't do nothing. No, I sat at home.
I filmed a lot of the football games, and I was like more of the, like my brother is like, and I are the complete opposite. He's a football star.
Ooh.
And I was the kid who filmed the football games and like was in like the video class, just like, I got to perfect this edit, this zoom in, close out thing. I got to perfect this little edit that Tarantino did. And that's what I was doing. So I mean, I was getting a lot of work out with my hands just typing and moving the mouse around. Yeah.
Well,
what about, did you didn't do anything?
I did. I was a 4-year starter in soccer. I was I started every game varsity except for one because I got a red card for trying to throw a ball at a kid's head that had just scored on me. So I had to miss that. I had to miss the rest of the game and one more game. But I started every game other than that. I was a varsity soccer goalkeeper.
Wow.
And then I was also in marching band and in band and played drums. And so I was the universal, like, I could fit in with everybody guy. I could fit in with the cool guys, but I could also be like, hey, band nerd, we're cool, right? And they'll be like, yeah.
Yeah, we're nerds.
Which is why I was voted prom king my senior year.
Wow. Man, I would have not got along with you in high school.
I straight up peaked, dude. No, see, we would have gotten along because I was a very nice, I was a preaching positivity and just always being happy all the time and wanting to get to know everybody. So I'd have been like, hey, Sean, you look like a kid that doesn't have any friends. You want to come over and be my friend today?
That's weird for you to assume that. But, I got all my video friends and you know what? I correspond with Tarantino through Twitter sometimes. So.
Well, I don't know who Tarantino is, but come on over. All right.
Do you like Devil Driver?
I don't know what you're talking about, man. Did you watch the new Saved by the Bell episode today or what?
That's stupid stuff.
I never had problems with anyone in high school or anything like there, except for like a couple of people that like, they were like new kids and they didn't know me. I'm not gonna lie. I wasn't like handsome in high school, but I got along with everybody. And I was like, I swear to God, it was like I was a C plus average student at best. Yeah, man. And I got to be student body president senior year because they just wanted me to,
like, that guy.
They wanted me to host the boom night and like events and stuff like that.
So all I got was like, we had like a TV channel in high school and I did the videos for that and they would play them at assemblies. And so everyone would watch them and they would laugh at our segments, the ones that we made. So that's all that I got from it. But then I'm like, well, they don't know who the real mastermind is between who made all those Tarantino edits and stuff like that.
Wait till they find out.
And you reveled in it.
I made it a point to be ugly in high school. Just grow my hair out and eat as much fudge rounds as possible. Which is, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
You should learn karate though.
Yeah.
Well, speaking about all things that super cool kids did in high school, just like us, I'm very happy to introduce our movie for the episode. It spawned 4 alternate movies and a new unbelievable smash hit Netflix series called Cobra Kai. We are, of course, talking about 1984's Karate Kid. And like always, before we get started with the movie breakdown, which we're going to go through this whole movie and break it down, we'd like to get you some pertinent and important background info on the movie. And that's where Sean comes in. Let's do it, Sean.
Yeah, man. Let's do this. Okay. So written by Robert Kamen, directed by John G. Evelton, and you might know that name from Rocky. He won Best Director for that movie, and he also directed Rocky V, Save the Tiger, The Karate Kid 2 and 3, and the movie Lean on Me. And he actually passed away
just recently,
right? Like a couple years ago or so. But a very prolific filmmaker. He is very journeyman director. Produced by Jerry Weintraub, cinematography by James Crabe, and music by the famous Bill Conti, who did the amazing score for Rocky. I'm pretty sure that won Academy Award as well. We got starring Ralph Macchio, Noriyuki Pat Morita, Elizabeth Shue, William Zabka, and Martin Cove. And it was released on June 22nd, 1984. The film was a semi-autobiographical.
And 3, 2, 1.
The film was a semi-autobiographical.
Dude, I can't. They know what you're talking about.
Okay, I got it. The film was a semi-autobiographical story based on screenwriter Robert Kamen's real life experience who he had when he was 17 when leaving the 1964 New York World's Fair when a gang of bullies beat him up. He began to study martial arts and to defend himself and was unhappy with his teacher who taught violence and revenge. So he moved on to study Okinawan Goju Ryu karate, translated to hard soft style, under a Japanese teacher who did not speak English and was a student himself of Kojin Miyagi. Kamen read an article about a kid living with his single mother and earned a black belt to defend himself against neighborhood bullies. He bought the rights to that story and combined his experiences with that story to write the first draft. Among the many actors considered for Daniel LaRusso were Sean Penn, Robert Downey Jr., Charlie Sheen, Emilio Estevez, Nick motherfucking Cage, Anthony Edwards, C. Thomas Howell, Tom Cruise, and Eric Stoltz.
I also had D.B. Sweeney. He would have been good on that. He would have been good on that.
Macchio was cast upon the strength of his performance in The Outsiders, the Francis Ford Coppola movie. He's really good in that. The studio originally wanted Toshiro Mifune, known for Rashomon, Seven Samurai, a lot of Kira Kurosawa films, and he was rejected, he turned it down or couldn't do it because he actually couldn't speak English whatsoever.
Yeah, that would have been tough.
When Pat Morita auditioned, he was initially rejected due to his association with stand-up comedy.
He was a comedian, wasn't he?
He was a comedian, and his role in Happy Days, which is, I mean, if you've seen a few episodes of him on there, he's great. Yes. I really want to see some of his stand up though. I don't know if that's anywhere, but being determined as he was, he grew a beard and patterned his accent from his uncle. He actually doesn't originally have
he's a very well-spoken.
Yeah. He speaks very fluent English. Doesn't really have a Japanese, accent at all. Crispin Glover was considered for the role of Johnny. Could you imagine?
That dude's eyes would scare the hell out of me. Like, if he looked at me the wrong way.
It would have elevated. I watch anything that dude's in.
Wow, I can't even imagine that.
Zabka, who got the role, scared the shit out of Macchio, actually. When he went into audition, he auditioned with Ralph Macchio and really intimidated him. Demi Moore was considered for the role of Allie, but the role went to Shue based partly on her part in a popular Burger King commercial.
Yeah, this was her first film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. We'll get to that, but she is so good. The film's fight choreographer, Pat E. Johnson, a Tang Soo Do karate black belt, was previously featured in Bruce Lee's Enter the Dragon and also worked with Chuck Norris.
And he was the referee in the final scenes, right?
One of the referees and was actually very hard on the cast along with doing all of the choreography for the fight, he kind of coached everyone. And because Pat Morita didn't know karate or anything like that either. So he coached pretty much everybody. Worked with Chuck Norris in the film. But the film budget was $8 million and earned $100 million at the box office. So pretty pretty popular movie with the old 1984 crowd there.
I also have that it was the top video rental of 1985.
Nice.
I mean, that shows you that it was a pretty damn popular movie when it came out.
Oh yeah.
Well, we'll get to that. And if you've been around with us before, we like to give the audience a little insight into what we thought about the movie the first time we saw it and give it a rating. So we're going to combine them all together. AJ, I'm going to have you start. Tell us the first time you saw it, what you thought about it, and what your rating was.
Well, I can tell you I was not part of the 1985 rental craze.
Nope.
Because I wasn't there. I honestly, I don't think I watched this movie until I was absolutely like later in my teens, like in high school probably.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of boring because it's like the transition of like 80s movies. Like they still look really hazy and they're like look very old, you know what I mean? But I don't know.
You can give it a bad rating.
No, I'm going to.
Okay, let's hear it.
Sad thing. So honestly, like when I first saw it, I was just like, man, I guess like I was like, this is like a 4.5.
Okay.
Like,
wow.
Yeah. I was like, I just kind of bored with it. And I was like, and I don't get it. And I was like, karate? I don't know. If you ask like my brother Ray, he was in karate and stuff, and he was around at this time. Like,
so he loved it.
He was into it. He was doing karate around like when, and this is probably some of the craze of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Probably. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
I definitely would have saw this a few years after it came out. It was 100% a movie store rental. Like we rented it and we rented it often, like okay. all the time. I was a full on 10 as a kid. I mean, this was like, we used to act this movie out on the playground, like at school.
Nice.
Where we'd pick a character and like imitate the fight scenes. Cause we knew them by heart. Yeah. I mean, we knew exactly, okay, you're supposed to miss, and then I'm going to hit you. And I mean, we didn't actually hit each other, but I absolutely loved this movie as a kid.
Wow.
10.
10.
Nice. Yeah.
What about you, Sean?
I was probably, I mean, I we first probably got, I think we actually taped it off TV or like HBO. Yeah. And so I only know the movie where when they get to their apartment. Until this recent rewatch, never seen another version of this movie besides that. So all like the first 5 minutes, like of them traveling to California, I did not see until this rewatch. Mm. So the first time I saw it was that HBO rip.
Yep.
don't go after my parents. But I was probably, I mean, we watched it all the fucking time, probably back then around a 6.
Okay.
6.5. Yeah.
Well, before we get into this full-blown scene-by-scene review, one of the audience favorite segments of all time is when AJ does a little research for us and gets us some reviews. We want to know what the critics and the audience were thinking about this movie when it came out.
Yeah. They
they loved it, right?
A lot of people did, apparently. I always like to start you off with like how people feel about it, like the tomato meter, IMDb. The tomato meter, which is like critics and stuff, 89%.
Nice.
Pretty high. That's got to be like number 2, I think, for us.
From
like,
what we've done so
from
far,
what we've
right?
done thus okay. far. And audience score is close. That's 82%.
Nice.
On Rotten Tomatoes. So... people did. They liked it. They liked it just fine. 7.3. Nothing ever makes a IMDb. I swear to God, in the sevens, man. It's just like
a tough rating system.
I think so. It's like I'm gonna celebrate so hard when we do a movie that's out of the sevens. Okay.
So yeah. So the other day I was looking at the top 250 on IMDb. It's Shawshank Redemption is number one. That is a 9.2. If that tells you like
two.
Like we've 9. Barely 2? Gotten out of the sevens.
Yeah.
That's how much loved that movie is.
Wow.
9.2 okay. is the best you can do.
Like I say, man, if we get to a point when we get our first one that's out of the sevens, I'm throwing a party. We're shotgunning a beer or something. I don't know what we're going to do.
I don't think it's going to be the next. I don't think it's going to be 2 weeks from now.
Oh, no. But I, you know me, I like to give you some good, some bad, you know, a lot of people, nobody ever, almost in all of these, they're all just like, yeah, they're playing on the basic formula, underdog.
Yeah.
Everybody's saying that. Even the super positive reviews are saying that.
Even Stallone, who Rocky fame and John G. Avildsen and like blamed the writer for like ripping Rocky off pretty much.
Wow, really?
Jesus.
I mean, kind of.
Pretty much it.
Roger Ebert, I always revert to him because like he's got this hold on that critic world of the eras we're trying to review, right?
And he's and so smart.
He is, but he's also just such a turd sometimes.
Sometimes he gets it right and sometimes he gets it so fucking wrong.
Yeah. First thing he says, now Roger Ebert gave it a 100.
Yeah.
out of 100.
Okay.
So he's on there with you, Mike.
He's there.
The first line of his review, I didn't want to see this movie. That's it. I took one look at the title and figured it was either A, a sequel to Toenails of Vengeance, or B, an adventure pitting Ricky Schroeder against the Megaloth Man. Like, I don't know what some of those things are,
nope,
but they don't sound good.
No.
So,
not a lot of people watch TV from the 1920s, Roger.
Yeah, exactly. He says, I was completely wrong. Karate Kid was one of the nice surprises of 1984. Exciting, sweet, tempered, heartwarming story with one of the most interesting friendships in a long time. So there's Roger Ebert. You know, he wasn't even. I want you both to guess on what the rating is of this one here, okay? It's entitled, I say he kind of deserved the beating he got after the dance. This movie would be the first of four movies and is by far the top-notch one, but this movie had a couple groan moments. Not as bad as two or three. Never saw four all the way through.
No one has.
What do you guys think that rating was?
Out of what? Like, what are we going?
One out of 10.
One out of 10?
Or, yeah, 1 to 10.
I'm going to say it's a 10.
I'm going to go 8.
It's a 7. They gave that movie a 7. I love, now, as I've been doing research, I have been finding, like, negative people just find it like one thing to pick out in a movie because they think they're an expert on the subject.
Oh yeah.
This guy says, Mr. Miyagi is the thief. His entire review is based around the single moment where Mr. Miyagi steals the black belt at the table.
That's all he can.
And that's
on.
All he's focusing on. He says, well, I was a black belt. I was a master in this, and you just don't do that.
Steal it.
It is a sin, a mortal sin. And it's just like
one star.
That's it. He's just one star on that.
It's just like someone like watching Lethal Weapons, like that 9mm Beretta wouldn't fire that fast.
Yeah, exactly.
The firing pin doesn't fire in two, 3 seconds is not that fast.
Yeah. It's just bad reviews. That's all they do is they just focus on the bad. So I'll give you one more here. There's a 1-star review.
God.
1-star review. This is bad teen movie. That's what this is called. This was done in 2000, March 3rd of 2000. This film makes me want to peel my eyes out with a rusty spoon. Wax on, wax off, wax on, wax off. Kill yourself, kill yourself. It is truly one of the worst films I have seen, except for Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers and possibly Bad Boy Bubby.
You are
and
comparing those movies to this. I've seen those.
I was
going to
say Sean's the only one that's seen these movies.
That's fucking ridiculous.
There it is.
My goal someday is to actually get a hold of one of these people and like have them do a video message for us. Be like, hey, dude, you wrote this 12 years ago. Do you still feel the same way?
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to hear from them.
He's so amazing.
Right, that's your goal for the next one. Is to contact that person. Okay. Well, we got you all primed and ready. I say, bow to your sensei, fighting positions. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, so Daniel LaRusso is a teenager who moves from New Jersey to Los Angeles after his widowed mother, Lucille, gets a new job. The movie starts with the long road trip to California and Daniel expressing his unhappiness about the move. Daniel quickly makes a new friend, Freddy Fernandez, in apartment 17, I know that, at the apartment complex, who invites him to a beach party later that day. While waiting to go to the party, Daniel meets Mr. Miyagi, the maintenance man, when the faucet at their new apartment breaks. At the beach party, Daniel spots a beautiful blonde named Allie Mills, and they talk. Well, yeah. Allie's ex-boyfriend Johnny Lawrence and his buddies crash the party on their dirt bikes. Johnny and Allie get into an argument prompting Daniel to try to intervene. Johnny quickly reveals that he knows martial arts, and he easily beats up Daniel, giving him a black eye. Easily.
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 little tidbit for you. In the opening scene, the kids chasing the car away as they were leaving New Jersey, I read that they were just like neighborhood kids hanging around the set, and they were bothering people so much, and they were like interfering with this shot, that the director offered them a part in the movie if they would leave them alone.
Oh, wow.
So that's their that's how he got them to behave, is to pretend like they
amazing.
Were friends. Isn't that awesome?
That's cool. I mean, that's
super cool.
This opening scene is like exactly how I imagine New Jersey being all of the time.
Completely.
Especially back in the 80s and the 70s and stuff like that. Just like kids playing stickball and waving at random cars.
Yeah. And just hanging out on stoops and like
just smoke stacks and stuff like that, you know? I mean, I've never been, but I imagine that's what it's like. I don't know.
It has to be. That's what it has to be like. Thank God they got out of it.
What were they moving for? I mean, I know like she's divorced, she found a new job, but like there seems to be like more of an underlying thing. Like she seems to be getting out of there way too fast. And they don't have much things with them whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like when they get to California, they have like one bag each. Like what are they running from?
And a shitty ass car that sucks. Yeah. The cost of living is higher out there now. Yes. I firmly believe Daniel was right to be pissed off about this move. Like she did not run this by him at all. And then she's going out there for a job with Rocket Computers. But then she's working as a hostess at like a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
So I agree with you.
I think there's something else going on. Like, I don't know. Maybe
we need to get some fan theory.
Yeah, I think
I'm
going to
make this fan theory up on the spot. Ready?
Oh, I love it. Mike's fan theories. Don't you worry about a thing. I'm Sean.
Their dad was part of the mob and was killed. And then they were starting to try. They were going to try to find Lucille and Daniel, and they had to she had to make up some story about Rocket Computers to get out.
Yeah, maybe that would have been a great fucking sequel, like Karate versus the Mob.
He goes back to find his dad's killer.
She's like witness protection kind of.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah,
hell yeah.
Oh man,
that was Mike and Sean's fan theory.
There it is.
Hell yeah.
Well done, gentlemen. Well,
thank you very much.
Did you? This is specifically for AJ. Did you recognize the old lady at the apartment complex? The crazy nutty old lady with the dog, who they get in a conversation. Did you recognize Sean?
Yes.
Who was it?
Oh fuck. You say.
Okay. So it was Frances Bay. She's got tons of movie and film and TV credits, but most notably, Happy Gilmore's grandma.
Yes.
Fuck. I never knew that until now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's right. Yes, yes, yes.
Always watched that and said, I recognize that lady. I don't know where she's from. Happy Gilmore's grandma. And then you start thinking about Ben Stiller and, you know, like just moves along.
when they get to that apartment complex where she's at and they're just hanging out with the dog and stuff like that, he makes an immediate friend.
Freddy Fernandez.
He's such a nice guy. He's like, hey, I'll help you with your bags. Like, what do? You like karate? You know, just like hanging out with him and like, I don't even know if he takes like 20 steps before he makes a fucking friend. At least that's a little bit of quit complaining so much, Daniel. I mean, stupid Jesus, Daniel. That guy likes you already.
Yeah. I feel like it's like, how much do we really see much more Freddy though? You know?
Well, so we see him a few times. I focused on it. You see Freddy that time.
Yeah.
And he's obviously at the beach.
Right.
And his other cool friends are like, this is Daniel. Like, no thanks.
Where do you find these guys?
Yeah. And then you see him once on the soccer field.
Okay.
Yep. And then you see him once he's at the tournament. He's rooting on Daniel at the tournament.
Oh, that's right. He is rooting him
so
on.
So maybe they stay in touch a little bit. Right. I don't know. Yeah. I liked Freddy.
I did too. It was nice to have him come throughout the movie though. That's a good touch, a good detail, I guess.
I also read the beach scene was the first thing that they filmed, which was kind of cool. I'm assuming as a director that sort of like bonds everybody together a little bit, and you have a little party kind of thing.
I also read that they mostly shot the film in order, which is very rare for a film, and I would imagine with this movie, like that beach scene, obviously, like you said, bonding each other, but with Elizabeth Shue and Daniel, just like immediately, just like having...
Putting them in there.
Yeah, having chemistry, in which they do have an abundance of. It's amazing.
I laugh so hard every time at how creepy Daniel's just sitting 5 feet away from her, like... poking at a fire and just staring at her.
Yeah.
It's
super yeah. creepy. It's like his eyes in that fire just kind of like, you're weird, bro. Like, why are you here?
The music playing. It's not.
it's like a saxophone.
When we come down, like in daytime, when we come down on the beach, it's not the summer song.
It's like a Beach Boys song.
It's like a Beach Boys song. And I'm like, it's the 1980s version of the Beach Boys is exactly what you think it would sound like. Fucking dog shit.
Yeah.
But it's so cool. It sets the tone. It's like, we're in California now, man. So let's just get it over with. Allie was definitely my first crush. Like, she is Elizabeth Shue. And her character in that movie, like, gorgeous, gorgeous girl who's also really nice and wants to hang out with this poor kid. Yeah. Like, I mean, Elizabeth Shue and Allie, totally my first crush.
She's amazing. And she's like, her career actually, like, I just recently watched Nick Cage's Oscar winning performance in Leaving Las Vegas, which she is also in. And I don't think she got enough praise for that, because she's amazing in that. And I love her and everything that she's done.
Everything.
And obviously this right here, her being, you said, her first role.
Her first film.
Just knocks it out of the fucking park. She is so charming. And like, they have such good chemistry.
Yep.
Ralph Macchio and her just play off each other so well. It's really great. It's really fun to see her do this role. I love it.
I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't feel the same way.
You don't get it?
Oh, man.
Here you go. Here's AJ's unpopular opinion.
New segment. AJ's unpopular opinion.
Yeah, like,
what's
I was just
wrong,
like,
with your taste, man?
I was like, I don't know.
I just don't know.
So I've gotten a bad. Never mind. I don't think she's like unattractive or anything like that.
Oh, just because,
like,
you're married now?
No. Well. No, it's like, I guess it's like, I don't know. She's got this like 80s thing going on that, like, it's the 80s vibe. I definitely didn't think was attractive.
Oh, okay.
And I was just like, I don't know about this. And then like when it's a little bit later on, but like, there's a couple of points where you're just like, yeah, man, that's not a very flattering shot of her. She's like,
you didn't think short shorts and sweater vests were sexy as fuck?
Okay. Cut off sleeves of your sweatshirt.
My bad. All right. It's a weird time for me, Sean.
Well, it's a weird time for all of us. I definitely got a raise out of me.
And before we move on, I want to talk about the beach scene. You know, like, we'll go through this in the whole movie, but as a kid, I was very on the Daniel protagonist train, right?
Mm-hmm.
But being able to rewatch this, there are a lot of things where you're like, Daniel deserved that. And I'm going to point it out as we move along when Daniel deserved it. The beach scene,
yep,
completely Daniel's fault.
Mm-hmm.
He could have stayed out of it. He didn't have to. Johnny and Allie were having a conversation. He didn't have to pick up the radio and give it to her. Of course, he picks it up. Then he gets shoved. Yep. Then he's like attacking Johnny. Johnny's just trying to get out of the way. And then he sucker punches Johnny.
That's right.
He completely deserved everything at the beach. Mm-hmm. Daniel's fault.
You don't think he was just like standing up for her? Like,
he doesn't even know her.
That's true. I mean, but like, it's
they've said like three words to each other by this point.
That's true.
All they've done is creepy glances. And then she's like, hi, how do you juggle? And he's like, oh, it's easy. You just go one and one, two, and then you use your knee, and then one, two, three. And then she boots the ball.
Like, she does exactly what a girl who doesn't want to be hit on would do, is just kick that fucking ball. Do not talk to me.
She goes, check this out. And she just punts it towards the water. He goes, oh, I'll go get it.
It's gone. That thing's gone.
I'll go get it. I'll be right back. No, don't be
please,
right back.
Please do not. I mean, what if she like would have just straight up told him, like, hey, my ex-boyfriend's, well, that's been awkward too. It's not her fault. You're right.
It's not, it's Daniel's fault that he got beat up.
It is Daniel's fault, man. Like, I agree with you on this, because he doesn't even come out of it. Like, if I remember correctly, he doesn't even like, it's, yeah, he's kind of like, hey, man, she said you don't want to, you know, and he's got that goddamn voice. He's kind of, you know, it's like, I feel like you're putting this voice on a little bit there, Ralph.
Ralph.
Know?
Trying to get that Italian side, you know?
Yeah. And you're just like, hey, you know, the girl said she didn't want to do it. You know, why don't you just leave her alone? It's like, stay out of it, guy. Like,
just stay out of it.
Who the heck are you? I don't even know you. Like, we've had a relationship for like years, and you are just some rando dude.
And Johnny looks tough as shit, and he's surrounded by four other tough as shit dudes with dirt bikes.
With dirt bikes.
Riding a dirt bike.
You know they're badass.
With a red leather jacket on.
Yeah.
which he still owns to this day, by the way.
It's a badass jacket, man.
Well,
it's true though, because he's like running at him, and Johnny just like trips him.
He's
like,
not trying to punch him. He's just trying to, you know, make him fall down.
Yeah.
You know?
And he gets up and he does. He right in the gut, man. And he just and blasts him. And you're just like, well, I don't know what you expect at this point. Just Tiger got out of the cage, bro. Tiger got out of the cage.
Well, I mean, in that same aspect, I guess, like Freddy's friends that he like tried to incorporate Daniel to, like when he's down on the beach, he's like, some friends you got, you couldn't even fucking take a beating. He's like, he's from New Jersey. Like, I don't know. But like maybe now you guys saying this is just like, hey, should have fucking stayed out of that, bro. Yeah.
Dude, I moved from St. Louis in eighth grade. So like, you know, not the same as Daniel, but like, I knew I'm just going to like chill out here. I'm not going to take any stances on anything. I'm just going to sit back. I mean, that would have been the last thing I would have done is on day one at my new school, been like, hey, there's a hot girl. I like, oh, she's got a really tough ex-boyfriend. I'm just going to probably pick a fight with him or something.
Yeah.
No.
That makes
idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, so there's instances coming up that you think he's also started it.
We're just going to keep continuing down like, this Daniel train.
You don't think he like really learned, like,
nope.
Maybe he was like kind of confident in that moment, but then like got his ass kicked and like kind of realized,
okay, we're going to keep going. In fact, let's move on to scene two.
Do it.
The next morning, Daniel attempts to hide the eye injury from his mom by wearing sunglasses to school. When this fails, he lies and tells her that he fell off his bicycle. Daniel receives further humiliation during
the
soccer.
Show me your baby blues.
I'm on Minute Maid, ma. Daniel receives further humiliation during the soccer tryouts at his new school when Bobby slide tackles Daniel, prompting Daniel to tackle him and land a punch to the face, which gets him expelled from the team. Oof. Daniel wants to learn karate and checks out a local dojo called Cobra Kai. Unfortunately, Johnny, Tommy, and Bobby, and among others, are students at the dojo, and Daniel leaves. While riding home that night on his bike, Johnny and his friends sideswipe Daniel on their motorbikes, causing him to fall down a hill. Arriving back home, Lucille sees him tossing his wrecked bike in a dumpster. Daniel, angry at how his life has been disrupted by the move, tells his mother he wants to move back home. As they walk away, Miyagi emerges from his workshop, having heard the conversation, prepared to do something.
Mm-hmm. I mean, did you guys notice, I put the subtitles on like usual with these movies. Did you notice that when the cheerleaders are cheering, they were cheering the go, fight, win, touchdown? That's it.
Go fight, win, touchdown.
Go fight, win, touchdown. It's not like go fight, win, Valley High, get them, go grab them. Like, just the most generic cheer.
I want a team too.
During the soccer tryout. Yeah, and then it's the soccer tryouts.
So,
well, I want to tell you why I never heard that. Because the best song from the 80s was playing in the background.
And on the street, Andy.
Cruel Summer by Bananarama. That scene, man. That montage is the montage of montages for me of the 80s.
So good.
It's like so iconic. The whole thing. He gets to school. The music's playing. He gets to the soccer tryouts.
It makes me like almost. I watched this on Christmas Eve. Or maybe Christmas Day, and the rewatch for this, and it makes me like kind of irk a little bit because I have these like summer movies in my head, and I have these winter movies in my head, and I don't watch them out of order, Mike. And I was watching this and hearing that song, I'm like, I wish I was on a beach looking at Elizabeth Shue right now.
She did look good on that beach.
She sure did.
AJ, right, AJ? What's the matter with you? Yeah. Okay, so let's go back.
She was fully clothed on the beach, guys.
One piece suits were all the rage back then, man. Right. Yeah. So let's move along to more of Daniel's fault. All right, yeah, kicked off the soccer team, completely Daniel's fault.
Oh yeah, I agree with that.
You that's a red card challenge. You know, like you don't go out of your way to tackle somebody. It happens. You don't get up and start throwing punches
immediately
when you're trying out for a team. Daniel's fault, loser. Go ahead, AJ. Your turn.
I got you.
No, I agree with you. I wholeheartedly agree with you. He picks the fights like Jersey Boy. He's picking fights, tough, dude. And he's trying to be a street brawler, and he doesn't understand this West Coast karate.
He doesn't understand the rules. Yeah. He says that. I don't know the rules around here.
It's true, yeah.
Yeah.
I get what you guys are saying, but you don't think it's just I'm not saying it's acceptable or anything, but you don't think it's like a new guy kind of like, hey, I'm here, don't fuck with me, and he's just like immediately going to violence to like make sure they don't fuck with him.
It's not prison rules, man. It's just high school. Like
you hit him before like, they hit you.
Yeah.
Like, Daniel's clearly good at soccer. I'm going to rewind here in Daniel's life. He made one wrong decision, picking up that fucking radio and trying to give it back to Allie. Cause had he not done this, he could have just stood in the background behind Freddie and all his friends and been like, God, well, whatever. We'll work on Allie later.
Yeah. Wait for your move.
The next day he could have been like, guys, look how good I am at soccer. Johnny and his friends would have been like, holy shit, this new guy's good at soccer. Yeah, dude,
that's a good point.
You want to hang out, bro? Like maybe, oh, you actually know a little karate. Well, we have a Cobra Kai, man. We're looking for new members.
Yeah. Maybe he could have easily been Cobra Kai much earlier in his life.
I'm just saying.
Would Rocky join up with Clubber Lang?
No,
yes. Rocky join the Russians?
Yes.
Okay.
He joined Apollo Creed.
Later in life.
I don't think the members of Cobra Kai are bad. Bad. There's no bad students. There's only bad teachers.
Well, we'll get to...
Yeah, we will.
We'll get into it.
Well, okay. So when he goes into the dojo...
Yes.
When he goes into the dojo, might as well be just walking into Nazi-occupied France. It's just like, holy... It's just like a regime. Like, Sieg Heil, you know, pretty much like fucking just out of control.
Fear does not exist at this dojo, does it? No, sir. No, sir.
Holy crap. How do you walk comfortably into that situation? You just
And there were parents sitting there like watching.
They're like, that's my boy.
Bobby, what a good guy. Yeah. Did you see Johnny's face when he goes
yes.
He goes, Mr. Lawrence, warm them up, and they all bow. And when Johnny sees him and smiles,
that's so good.
He goes, oh.
And we come from a picture, like a shot of a picture of what's his name?
John Kreese.
Of him in the military, which I'm assuming Vietnam.
Yes.
So very hardened.
Yes.
And very scary.
Very John demanding. Kreese is very scary.
Yeah. He looks like he's in like he looks like John Berenger or Tom Berenger, like in the movie Sniper or something like that. You know.
Yeah.
He's just a very very abrasive dude.
He is. I like. I think he's such the perfect bad guy in this, though. I think like his voice, he refers to his students as, and this is one thing I hated in high school. I hated when teachers called me Mr. Venz. I hated that.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Lawrence.
It's just like, I hate that so much.
Like it's a respect thing, but like, God damn, my name's Sean.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I had a teacher in high school who was also the football coach, and like my brother being the exact opposite as me, when I was in his class, he would call me Pryor. I'm like, dude, it's Sean. Like, you call Sean. My brother, yeah. You call my brother Pryor and not me. And he loved that.
There's such an iconic scene too. When he gets run off the road and he's returning his bike. I heard this part, stupid.
Oh,
part.
Yeah, yeah.
Daniel, what's the matter? So it reminded me of there's a secret track on Incubus Science. If I don't know if you guys have ever heard this, listen to how awesome this is. They parody that scene and it's perfection. Listen to this.
The Karate Kid.
From New York to Reseda, I've been rumbling Cobra Kai with Miyagi-Do karate right at my side. Not the why, a good school. I gotta learn karate. I hate this bike. I hate it. Yo, what are you doing to your bike? Nah, let me just go home. I just wanna go home.
It's literally so perfect because like it's so over like what's the matter? Nothing. I hate this bike. I hate this stupid bike. It's not the bike's fault. Like what? Come on, bro. It's just kind of funny to rewatch it because it's a very pivotal moment because Mr. Miyagi realizes something's going on here and he wants to help him, but like it's just like. Okay, that was not really Daniel's fault. They probably shouldn't have run him off the road on the bike.
That was pretty dangerous, man.
Pretty dangerous
that's
stuff.
That's some dangerous stuff. Like, okay, again, I don't know where these people come from, where they live, where like somehow you don't let this get back to your parents that you're like, you basically are black and blue all over and you got run off a freaking hill, like a small mountain foothill. Like what? Like, I don't understand how this just doesn't make it back to the parents. Where were the parents?
It's 80s.
I guess so. They're just out being boys.
Mom's a hostess at a Chinese restaurant.
That's a good point.
That's the reason they moved to California.
Speaking of her working there, the whole scene of him coming out of the dojo and like having dinner with her, whatever, it was like, it seems to be all in one shot. And I read that they didn't control traffic on that day. So they were actually dodging traffic. And then, like, in that whole shot, you see them in the background, notice that Daniel is having dinner.
It's perfect.
And it sets up them attacking him later. But it's so good, like, them coming out. It's so well directed. And then the camera, like, comes in on Daniel while he's talking about Elizabeth Shue. She's, like, very hot. She is hot. It's just such a good scene. Like, I'm like, holy shit, that must have been a fucking nightmare to direct.
Think of how many times they would have had to do that, because there's a perfect, it's one of them, like Bobby, one of them comes across the street, sees him, runs back, then brings the rest of them, and then they, like, talk, and then they run away, and right as they go around the corner, she goes, what'd you find out at the dojo? Yep, exactly. And they look out the window. So he would have seen them had it been 2 seconds earlier.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
It's a really good scene.
Especially not directing traffic, either. I know. All right, so the next day, Daniel finds his bike out of the dumpster and repaired by Mr. Miyagi, and they begin to form a friendship. Daniel continues his courtship of Allie, and they seem to be hitting it off, including meeting up with her at the Halloween dance. While there and trying to get back at Johnny, Daniel rigs a prank, dangling a hose over Johnny and turning on the water. Daniel rushes out of the school and nearly makes it over the fence at his home when the Cobra Kai's catch him and begin to beat him seriously. Mr. Miyagi appears and easily defeats them, including Johnny. He takes Daniel to his workshop and takes care of him. Daniel wants Mr. Miyagi to teach him karate, and he agrees. At the Cobra Kai dojo the next day, Daniel and Miyagi meet the Cobra Kai sensei, John Kreese. Cobra Kai agrees to leave Daniel alone as long as he enters the All Valley Karate Tournament in a few months.
What a weird... I'm going to jump a little ahead in our segment here, but what a weird ultimatum. We won't beat you up right now until we get to beat you up at a tournament in front of people. And it's just like,
it's kind of a good move.
I mean, I guess it, I don't know. It just seemed really weird to me. You got to show up. It's like, oh, is he well-trained? No, he's not. He hasn't been trained at all. It's like, well, in a couple of months,
we just met.
Like, we want him there.
Yeah. We just met like yesterday and he's my student now.
Yeah. It's like, well, in a couple of months, he better be ready. So it's like, well, okay. I mean, we're just trying to keep him active and keep him out of trouble. We're just asking you not to beat up on him. Well, he better be ready so we can beat the crap out of him at this tournament.
Get him primed and ready to go.
Well, okay. Well, I guess we'll see you there.
In a couple months, I guess.
This is what we're going to do.
Leave boy alone. Start training.
Well, speaking of Mr. Miyagi speaking, there's something about Japanese and Chinese when they speak English, it's just so simple.
Yeah,
it's they only say the important words, like don't do that or bad idea to do that, you know. And it's just like, well, can we just get around that in the English language anymore? Like, can we just cut to the chase and speak like we're speaking a Japanese man speaking English?
I kind of like that. No, we have to use all these adjectives about
stupid
stuff.
I don't get it.
So I read that in many of the TV releases, which maybe you can attest to, that Johnny's rolling a joint on the toilet at the dance as a skeleton. Yeah. But they cut that out of a lot of scenes. In fact, I'm guessing I probably didn't realize that he was rolling a joint. I always thought he was taking a shit. Like, that's always what I thought was happening. And I just like, man, that's like really shitty. Like, somebody's pooping and you like turn the water on.
That's the thing. Literally. This is one of those scenes. And like, okay, I get it's the 80s and everything. His costume's lame. All right. I get he's trying to hide and he's trying to be incognito. He's trying not to, better not show your face and that kind of a thing. But it's just like, okay, whatever. And, but when he does that and like flips it on, it's like, dude, like, when was the last time like you even had a run-in with these dudes? Like, that's a real dick move. Real dick move.
Well, speaking of the costume, it's like, I wonder like why has no one done that in like at like Halloween parties like today? Like,
I did. And,
you did
in college? I did.
Well, you and did.
It was awesome.
Really? God, did it work out well?
Yeah, but you could like it was
like
really
how
hard.
Fucking inconvenient.
It was super inconvenient. Say. But it was very awesome because it was like a unique costume that I spent a lot of time on.
Well, and in that same case, like, he's kind of incognito. He's in the curtain the entire time. And when Elizabeth Shue comes up and they're dancing and she asks, like, you want to go outside? Like after they like meet eyes or something like that. And I'm just like, well, you don't have to go outside. You can fuck literally right there. you don't have to do anything.
I'll be honest with you. You're right.
If that's what she's implying. I mean, what'd you guys think? She says, let's go out. You want to go outside? Like
let's, she wants
make out
to
and look at my boobs.
Yeah. That's, She looked nice in that show. Though, but and speaking of that, there's two things. That Halloween costume was on the back wall at Mr. Miyagi's place. Did you know?
Yeah.
I did not notice that until just recently.
Yeah, where same.
It's basically kind of hanging up on the wall behind him when he's hanging out in Mr. Miyagi's shop. And he says, I'd go if I were the Invisible Man or something like that. And Miyagi goes, oh, I can make you something. And he clearly makes the costume for him. But then talking about iconic costumes, those Cobra Kai skeleton costumes.
Yeah. So cool, man.
They're so awesome.
They look so good on camera. I would I could just imagine the cinematographer and John G. Allison just being like, God damn, this is a great, like, especially when they beat him up afterwards.
When they chase him.
Yeah.
When they chase him down, scary. Like, that's a very scary moment. That's one of AJ's spooky moments. Spooky. Okay. This is just a little too spooky for me, guys. Well,
and that field that he's running through has got all the smoke, but I did, again, on rewatch, trying to be critical, you can see a smoke machine, like, pumping out smoke. It was going, psh,
oh, yeah.
As he's running through the field. Like, well, you can't really do that.
When he does that water prank, it's just like the 80s. When a simple prank leads to a 4-car pileup. Yeah. When they're chasing after him, there's like 8 cars that fucking, like, insurance, man.
Because everyone knows that instead of, like, braking, like, when you brake, you have to turn your wheel really hard. Oh, there's a guy in a curtain.
Yeah. And then when you see someone, like, look out, kid, instead of, like, what the fuck?
I guess that's one thing. I would love to have that as the job. I wish I could just be secondary voiceover stuff for moments like that. Like, watch out, kid.
Like, I always wanted to be one of the elves in Santa Claus.
Actually, that was my voice right there. Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
No, yeah. Check the credits back. I'll do it for you right now. It's like,
watch out, kid.
Watch out, kid.
And again, let's talk about Daniel. Daniel literally couldn't leave well enough alone. And John even says that. Like, he did not have to do that.
He was there making moves on Allie.
Yeah.
And then he goes and does that.
He interrupted his own night. Man.
Yeah.
His own night.
And Johnny's rolling a joint. One of the most pacifying things that any man can do.
Just the most relaxed. He's just in the bathroom, just trying to relax. And
obviously,
he's stressed out.
He's got his headphones on with his Walkman. He's listening to something. Like, again, this is all Daniel's fault. Daniel is the bully here.
This one does not make sense. Yes, I agree. I agree with you. Like, especially, you have Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah.
In a shower with you.
Oh my God.
And you leave to go to the bathroom and realize your bully's in there. You're like, I'm going to fuck with him instead of make out with Elizabeth Shue and perhaps see her boobies.
Yeah.
I love this when Johnny comes running out and he's soaking wet and the guy's dressed as Spider-Man. He goes, Johnny, my man. And he leaves him hanging on a high five. That was really good. I like that part. Okay, so Mr. Miyagi takes Daniel to his home to begin his training. Miyagi tells Daniel that they'll have to make a pact. Miyagi will instruct Daniel, but Daniel will not question a single thing in his method. When Daniel agrees, Miyagi hands Daniel a sponge and orders him to wash and wax all of his cars. When he's done, he is then ordered to do more chores such as painting the fence, sanding the floors, painting the house. Frustrated by this, Mr. Miyagi shows Daniel that he was actually learning karate the whole time. Daniel goes on his first official date with Allie to golf and stuff.
Yay. Golf and stuff.
Can't wait to get to that, but we'll focus on the boring part first.
Right. Well, okay. It's boring, but it's important.
It's very important. Like, literally to this day, I think of wax on, wax off. Like, when I'm just, like, doing daily things, like, at work or just, like, on my, like, typing something, I'm just like,
at home trying to get to bed, but you can't fall asleep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I wax on, wax off. And I, up and down. But, like, it's so synonymous
with
this.
Paint the fence. Oh,
my God. You've been painting the fence for a while. Yeah. Well, it's a good video.
Both sides?
Oh, all sides.
All right.
Ball sides. Yeah, man. Like, I in daily life, is that the same for you guys? Like, wax on, wax off is like one of the greatest movie
iconic
quotes.
Quote.
Yeah,
yeah, it completely.
Was, so another reference that was made for this was in the Ninja Turtles movie. Number 2. And he makes, I think it's Michelangelo, he makes a quick reference of wax on, wax out when they're cleaning up April's apartment. And I had no idea what it was from.
Yeah,
I just thought it was funny because other people laughed at it. And that was the thing. I had no idea it was actually from The Karate Kid. And then until I saw The Karate Kid, I was like, oh.
No, you thought, then Karate Kid took that from the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you just get your timeline messed up. You're just like, yeah, that 80s movie took it from that 90s movie.
The best part for me is how much Allie's parents clearly hate Daniel. Because Daniel's so awkward and he has no skills to talk to people at all. He's just kicking the stupid brick. Like, he can't even look anybody in the eye.
He kills it with Allie, like, when he first meets her. But, like, yeah. How can you not, like, swindle the parents?
This is the most important thing for anyone out there listening, some teenager that wants to get in good with a girl. Okay, Sean, when you go over to their house, you got to get in good with the parents. You got to be very personable.
You don't bring
and
up
just like
the, no. Your favorite murder that you researched.
No.
Oh,
you call you shake their hands stern. You look at them in the eye and you call them Mr. and Mrs. That's and right. you say, oh, it's really great to meet you. What do you do? Oh, you work. Oh, that must be an interesting job. And that's all you do.
So I'm gonna practice. Okay. Hi, Mr. Schulte. I'm going to take your daughter out tonight.
Oh, that's great. What's your name?
I'm Sean.
Oh, hey, Sean. Yeah. Nice to meet you.
Epstein didn't kill himself.
Excuse me. What did you say?
Oh, Epstein didn't kill himself. Yeah, I don't think he did.
No, see, you're making too much eye contact with me. This is, you're already better than Daniel. But like, and then even when the car won't start, and Daniel's like so embarrassed, he like slams the door, clearly anger issues. The parents just hate his guts.
I'm sorry about my clammy hands, by the way.
It's gross. We actually shook hands, you guys. Ugh. I haven't shook a hand in like 8 months.
Oh, disgusting.
What was I going?
I don't know.
Oh, have you guys, like, when you like first started dating and stuff like that, did your parents ever have to take you and your date to places? How awkward was that?
Pretty awkward. And then they all sat in the front seat together.
Yeah.
No. See, I didn't have my power wheels. I didn't go on dates.
Oh, that's right. another thing that I wanted to bring up too is like when she says when they have to like kickstart it again or whatever, she's like, do you know how to drive a stick? And she's like, oh yeah. I'm like, said no one past 1988. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
People are now going, what's a stick? Yeah. I don't understand. They said that's the new anti-theft device is a stick. Yeah. Like a manual transmission.
I
haven't taken that car.
The date.
Golf and stuff.
One of the most like cheesiest 80s montages, but it's so charming. It works so much.
It's charming.
And when they're playing bubble hockey, let me tell you, I got my raised eyebrow. Anybody out there wanting to challenge me at bubble hockey? Even you, Elizabeth Shue.
Wait, are you serious?
Yes.
I grew up in a bar where my parents would be like, here, take this money and go play video games. And all I played was bubble hockey.
AJ has lost every time against me.
That's not every time.
We have to find a bubble hockey.
It's my dream to own a bubble hockey.
Three-way or
they're very expensive. I looked them up.
That's what it needs to be. I'll take you, Sean. You know I'll take you.
Elizabeth Shue clearly just like opens the goalie up and lets him score.
Yeah, right. So it's man, his face is really very excited. Like
he just
came.
If there wasn't music playing like during this, like he would just be like, yeah, eat it, bitch. Oh, just own that. Seven, you want to go again? No, you don't.
Fast, driving down the road.
The mini golf and like and everything.
Yeah,
and
you know what I feel sad is that place looks so awesome, like water slides, go-karts. It makes me sad that like places like that will never exist ever again in the history of the world. It'll never happen.
We had Chapman's Fun World here.
I worked there.
You did?
The last year in existence.
Locally in Iowa, we had Chapman's Fun World. It was kind of like that.
Yes, it was amazing.
I vaguely remember it, but man, you're right. They won't.
It'll never happen again.
They have arcades and stuff like that and barcades, but nothing like that.
No.
Water slides.
We had a place, it was in Mount Pleasant, but it was called Chudos.
Cool.
And I always called it Cheetos because I was just a bad kid. You're food just, on the mind. Oh God. I go to Cheetos and it's Chudos, you idiot. And so that was my life for about 3 years.
People love that joke when
But that was what it was. But it was like not a good version. Like there was never music.
It was on the verge of closing down at any point.
It was a big warehouse kind of a thing. And like the mini golf was just like, they definitely just rolled out AstroTurf into different like
shapes, and that was it. And then they had a an arcade, but we loved going there because it was the only thing like that in within like 50 miles.
Golf and stuff, dude.
And so we definitely did that. Long story short, it closed and became the can recycling joint.
So. So it didn't really have to do much moving or anything like that. Just kind of, we're a can place now.
Yeah.
I laughed so hard too at the very end of there. Like, this date has gone very well.
Oh yeah.
I mean, like, it's gone very well, but then they come out, dude, and the like super hunky dude in the brand new convertible is like, come on, get in a ride. And then the group of Johnny and all her best friends show up who clearly hate Daniel. Mm-hmm. And they're like, get in. She's like, no, she's being so nice to Daniel. Yeah. But right as they drive away, they go, nice car, Mrs. LaRusso. Yeah, I laughed so hard.
I guess to
say, I want to be that guy making this
to add to your point where like maybe Johnny's not such a terrible dude. He's not saying anything.
He didn't say anything.
I mean, maybe he yelled that, but maybe he didn't.
That was definitely it. Was so a girl. It's not Bobby. So it's the other guy, the guy that just has all the lines in the world. And I will tell you,
yeah, put him in a body bag.
We'll tell you.
Is that Bobby?
It's Tommy. Yeah, Tommy has all the lines, and that is a line from Tommy. Like, he, nice car, Mrs. LaRusso, yeah, as they drive by. Like, Daniel needs to learn to appreciate what he has, because, like, he's got the hottest girl in school who's clearly right, all AJ? Of her friends hate. All of her friends hate Daniel. They hate him. This is not going to work out. That's he's got to make his move now. And he's just like, I'm sulking. You could have gone if you wanted to. You could have gone if you wanted to. I don't care. Daniel, just
get over yourself. Yeah,
I think you're right. I think you're right. But like Johnny's friends asking if Allie wants to come hang out with Daniel is while he's right there is like a pretty fucking shitty move. Like, you don't see him. I'm fucking right here, bitch. Like, you know our fucking history. You know I just sucker punched this guy. And you know, like, I'm training to become a karate master to defeat this man. You're just going to ask me that right in front of me? What the fuck? Yeah.
In the weeks that follow, Miyagi has Daniel work on more aspects of karate using abnormal techniques, learning balance by standing on the bow of a rowboat and fighting large ocean waves. Miyagi also begins to teach Daniel how to punch. In this process, Daniel becomes much closer with Mr. Miyagi and learns more about him. Allie asks Daniel to meet her for another date. Daniel goes to Allie's parents' country club, where he sees Allie dancing with Johnny. When Johnny spots Daniel, he forces Allie to kiss him. Daniel, ashamed, goes to leave and runs into a waiter who spills a tray of food on him. Daniel's 16th birthday comes around, and Miyagi gifts him with a beautiful car. Daniel finds Allie, and they make up.
He runs into the waiter with a pot of diarrhea.
That's a really fancy country club. They're serving spaghetti.
Yeah, no, like, oh, it's spaghetti night down at the country club.
The way it shows up on his white jacket really disturbs
me. What a terrible outfit, Daniel. Like, that is not a good choice, buddy.
I'm surprised they didn't make it so he was dressed just like the waiters in some way. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like that's definitely the joke that should have happened in all this.
And so I love, like, speaking of when Daniel comes, like, he comes like every day to work for Mr. Miyagi, work for quote unquote. But it's, every time he goes to see him, it's like a cutscene in a Rockstar game, or like a different like stranger mission in a Rockstar game.
It's
like,
is.
He shows up and he's like, hey, how's it going, Mr. Miyagi? He's like, well, today I'm gonna have you paint the fence and everything. And like, you paint the fence and that's the mission. Mm-hmm. Then you go back the next time, you're just helping out a stranger. It's like exactly like a Rockstar game.
It is. It's like the tutorial in some sort of game. It's like, this is how you use the controls. Yeah. And it's just like, up and down and up and nope, don't do it that way. Oh, you gotta do it this way. And you know, it's true. I really did think to myself, God, I would really hate doing all that.
Both sides, like, of the fence.
Yeah, like, come on, man. Like, you're sanding it. You're like sanding all the decks and stuff. And like, I just don't, like, I just thought to myself, especially when I was a kid, I was like, ugh.
I don't care about karate anymore.
Gross.
I'm out.
Could you imagine if the scene, like, where he gets wasted comes, like, after, or, like, before he gives him, like, a
life lesson and all this stuff.
Before he, like, realizes, like, what's actually happening. Could you imagine if he, like, got there and he's, like, drunk off his ass.
Wearing a military outfit.
What is happening? What did I just get myself into? Well,
that's an important scene, too, because Pat Morita was nominated for an Oscar for this role. And the director or somebody from the studio wanted to cut that scene completely. They're like, we don't need this backstory. We don't need this drunk guy. But the director fought for it. Mm-hmm. And he thinks that scene in particular is one of those reasons why he did get nominated for the Oscar.
I would have to agree with him. And I think the other scene is when he does tell him like all what he's been doing has been like defense pretty much the entire time, you know, up, down, wax on, wax off and everything like that. It is my favorite scene of the movie.
Yeah.
It's so well done, and mm-hmm. he's such a great actor in that scene. I don't know, man. Like that really fucking hit me, and it brought this movie up so many levels for me. We'll get to that at the end, but oh, I loved it so much.
It's the equivalent of an arming up montage, like where you know in like war movies or like action flicks, they're like cocking guns and putting clips in and like checking sights and doing all this stuff and tightening up their gear. That's like what the equivalent was to this. That's what he did. And that's the moment it all kind of comes around that he's been learning the whole time. And like, that's the thing. Like he really did do those. If you did those motions that much, and he even like, he kind of gets on him. He's like, Daniel-san!
Yeah.
He's just like, he pulls it back in.
Yeah. You go stand on the floor, and Daniel goes down to his knees. Stand up.
and so he really gets on him at this point, and he makes his moves particular, and he really, it's like he's arming him in this moment.
It's been meticulously planned.
Yeah, exactly. And so many other movies have pulled off of this idea. You know what I mean? I know that like the idea of, like you heard in a lot of the reviews, like this is one of those tropes, this underdog thing, and like but they did follow that, but they created so much more off of it. Mm-hmm. Like that was a big deal.
Well, and they just, I mean, speaking off of Elizabeth Shue and Ralph Macchio's chemistry, they just have such like it's electrifying them. I mean, we'll get to it, but like their friendship is so cool to watch. Like and it's like Roger Ebert said, it's an interesting relationship because not all is revealed. I mean, you get hints like in the scene where he's, you know, dressed as his, like as he was in World War II.
Yeah.
When he's kind of praying over, his wife and everything like that, like you get those glimpses of like what happened and like that he had a kid.
Yeah.
And, obviously he's like a father figure, and obviously he's kind of like a son to him now.
Yeah.
But their back and forth is just so good. I can't imagine. I want to see or like read an article of like how they first met and like how like they chemistry tested, you know?
Yeah.
But amazing stuff. Such a good scene. I loved it.
Let's get away from the happiness. Let's keep talking about how Daniel is such a terrible person.
Please and thank you.
Okay, God, I agree with everything Sean said, but I want to bring it back down again. Daniel is not only just a terrible punk, but he's also a terrible son. He's at Miyagi's. He's prioritized Miyagi over his mom.
Right.
Completely, right?
Yeah.
And he like completely forgets that his mom was throwing him this like birthday party. And he goes, oh shit, I gotta go. I forgot. But then Mr. Miyagi's like, here, take this car. And then he's like, oh, I got this car. I gotta go get Allie back. So he doesn't even go to his mom's.
That's right.
He forgets his mom. And then once he gets a car, he's like, I'm gonna go to the more important woman in my life, Allie, instead of my mom who brought me out here and put me into this life. He's a terrible son.
I feel like he just, he really, it's all really about him, just dude. About him kind of trying to get his, you know,
he's 16,
just pop it out there. And I don't think he's really got much other focus in this life. All this, see, now this is exactly why, guys, this is all over Allie. This is all because of Allie. She's the cause of all of this, all these problems. These damn wonderful, beautiful women that just have to put their faces in front of everything and make enemies of men and all this stuff. This is it. It's
not Allie's fault that she's gorgeous. It is Daniel's fault for picking up the damn radio on the beach.
The damn radio. Well, okay. Maybe she shouldn't have had such a nice radio. I don't know.
You break my radio.
Yeah. I know I'm the one that swears too much on the podcast, but I gotta give it up for the mom here, because it kind of reminds me of my mom. Like,
she's a very nice lady.
I'm like, it's fine. You don't like, I had a birthday thing, but if you have plans, like, go ahead and go do those. She would understand.
She would.
Like, my mom and me are like fucking tight, you know? And like, it's just, I don't know. I really get where he's coming from, because he probably knows that she understands. And like, even when she comes to the tournament and everything, she's like she's all about it. And like, it was maybe her fault in the first place that they moved.
Yep. So she's got to be supportive.
I got to give it up for her. So there you go, Mrs. Schulte. There's like 15 seconds of me not swearing. Did I swear in there?
No, you might have. I don't know.
I don't fuck. No, I have nothing. Sorry.
Country club scene. I just need to.
Good. I'm glad you brought that up.
The fucking when the parents like that. Oh my god. Like, she socks the absolute light year out of Johnny. And then the parents are like, you just assaulted our daughter. Are you all right?
And clearly he's fine. He's like, yeah, fine.
What's her problem? Why is she like, you just pretty much sexually assaulted our daughter. But we're going to be like, are you okay? Is your gut fine when she punched you? Fucking assholes.
The dad even goes, what's the matter? Trouble with Johnny.
Trouble with Johnny.
You love birds having a fight.
Both his pinkies up in the air at every turn.
Be fair, I would much rather my daughter date Johnny than Daniel. I don't even have a daughter. And that music at the country club, so like cliche.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So cliche.
Country club.
And like, why are they having a dance?
Yeah, what, you dance at a country club? Aren't you like supposed to just strictly talk about countries and clubs?
I've never been. I don't know.
They're just having a courting night or something like that. Like, what the hell is going on?
It's the night where they're all giving up their daughters because they're rich and they're selling them to Epstein. And okay.
And scene six, final scene. On the day of the tournament, Daniel's nervous to fight and has absolutely zero knowledge of how the tournament works. In the tourney ring, Daniel squares off and beats his first opponent. He continues to advance, much to his own surprise. In the higher rounds, Daniel faces off against some of the Cobra Kai's. When Daniel defeats Tommy and Dutch, Kreese orders Bobby to use an illegal kick to deliberately injure Daniel's knee, taking him out of the competition. Daniel's taken to the locker room where a medic tells him he won't be able to finish the competition. Daniel's devastated and asked Miyagi to use acupuncture to fix his knee. Apparently that's what that was. I thought it was magic, but like he did. Miyagi
magic.
Miyagi agrees and partially heals Daniel's leg. Daniel returns to the ring moments before Johnny's about to be named winner by default. After a close, intense fight, Daniel uses Mr. Miyagi's crane technique to score the winning point to win the match. He's crowned champion, carried around on the shoulders of the other competitors, and Johnny congratulates him and hands him the championship trophy.
Fuck yes. I have just a couple more things before these scenes. The birthday scene when he gives him the car he has the car actually to this day. Ralph Macchio kept that car. And another when he says, you're the best friend I ever had, and he says, you pretty okay too. I'm like, oh fuck, it's so good. I love that so
that
much. And
awesome.
Then when Allie and Daniel make up and they kiss, he sends his tongue straight down her throat. And I'm pretty sure he went out the other side because like, he's just like, oh, like he eats.
It's like a scene from Aliens.
I'm pretty sure her chin slipped in his mouth.
Oh my God.
It's just like such the most wide open kiss I've ever seen.
Is it the Dumb and Dumber kiss?
Yes,
yeah,
it is. And that's made for comedy. It's like the first time he's ever, or like, yeah, he watched a Humphrey Bogart movie. He's like, I'm going to do that, but my mouth
open. I read that You're the Best Around, which is such an iconic song, was originally written for Rocky.
Rocky 3.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? I mean, it would have worked for Rocky, but this was like Karate That's Kid so song, great. Man.
Yeah, I think Stallone thought it was like a little bit more cheesy.
And it was.
It works for this. Like,
it
seems like the teenage version of a fight movie. So like, it just does work for the Karate Kid.
Yeah. This is that scene where he comes in and he says that Daniel's a black belt, and like, they don't like, so it's obvious that his techniques and training clearly not sanctioned by the karate world. And so he steals a black belt for Daniel. He just slaps it on there. How?
Wait, did you write that review?
This is kind of reckless. No, he. I'm saying, how reckless is this of Mr. Miyagi to throw Daniel in there with like seasoned black belts? And he's just like, I think he's ready. I think he's good. I guess.
He doesn't even know how to score points and like how it works.
Exactly.
It even could be grounds to get that trophy stripped away from him later in life.
Ooh, once they see the movie, they'll be like,
exactly. They're just like, wait a second, he didn't. That's not his black belt. I think you're right.
I mean, are they in that same vein? They don't just give out black belts.
No, they don't just
like have a box of black belts. Like, yeah, this is yours. This is
you left yours at home. Here you go.
They don't hand them out. You earned that.
Why was there that box?
Yeah.
And this is where, as I get older and I look back on these movies I loved, this is where I go in reverse and I'm like, I don't like this. I didn't believe this. Like, as a kid, of course Daniel won the tournament. Like, he's so good. He's been learning from the best. Much like the Mighty Ducks, I'm sure we'll talk about that someday. There's not a chance in hell they would ever beat the Hawks.
No.
I don't care what they go through. They're not going to be the Hawks. This is the same for me. There's no way he could have ever won this. Johnny, last year, when crowned champion, didn't lose a single point.
That's right.
And he's a year older, better, and stronger. Daniel does not win this fight. He doesn't even know the rules of the tournament.
I get you, but you know, it's just the heart. It's all the heart and Mr. Miyagi's training. It's because of Mr. Miyagi, you know?
Here's the thing, guys. When you're the best around, nothing's going to ever keep you down. So I'm just saying.
Okay, fine. I take it all back.
There we go. Right. Point made. I win. Okay.
and point to AJ.
Point. Winner. and like the crane technique. Probably one of the most difficult moves to ever do. Like, Miyagi's like, oh, it took me ages to learn it. Yeah. Someone to teach me. Miyagi didn't even teach him the crane kick. He just saw him doing it one time.
Right.
So then he figured, oh, I'll teach myself how to do it.
I will literally do it right now, too. I swear to fucking God. I mean, you guys role played this movie. I mean, I'm sure you could do it right now, too.
I definitely could. Yeah. I'd have to stretch first.
Yeah. I'd need to put on a knee brace, but I could do it.
It's a podcast. It wouldn't come through that well.
No.
You had to be there.
So as we're now getting into the fights and everything, and he's scoring points and he's winning, he's beaten. You know, Dutch is like bad. He's like the tough guy.
Dutch is scary.
He's the bad boy of the group, you know. Johnny's the pretty one.
I must break you. You know,
he's the guy who eventually went to jail, like later on in life.
That's
definitely
right. Absolutely. And so, but then Bobby is actually, so if you look back,
I love this.
Bobby is actually the guy. He kind of has a heart for Daniel.
Yeah.
He's like, come on guys, leave him alone. Like, let's go. Stop. He's had enough, guys. He's had enough. And it's like, he even says he gets ordered to do that, and they're just in this like regime of Cobra Kai.
He has to do it.
And he has to do it because of Kreese.
No mercy,
No mercy. And he does the move, and he gets down. And he's apologizing.
I'm sorry.
And he's like, but that's the thing. Like, these guys are human.
Yeah,
they're not just bullies.
It adds a lot of layers to even their like. Way back when in the beach scene, Elizabeth Shue and Johnny, they're back and forth. They really seemed like they have history. Mm-hmm. Like their argument and everything like that. It really seemed like they were fucking angry with each other. Like, she was really angry with him. And what you're talking about right there, it seems like they have a friendship that goes back a while, you know? And like, he has like his misgivings about their quote unquote leader, Johnny, you know?
Right.
I love that aspect of
Even
it.
Even when Daniel gets carried off, Kreese is clapping.
Yeah.
And they're all like, Johnny and Bobby are like looking at him like, holy, this guy's insane. Like, why is he clapping?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This kid's hurt. So, you know, there are not bad students, only bad teachers.
It's true. Very
true.
I liked also the bargaining of getting them both on the mat, or like, there can only be like two people on the mat. He's like, he doesn't speak English, and she's the translator and everything. And he's like, oh, okay then, well, go ahead. And he's like, welcome.
He says, you remind him, what did he say? You remind him of an uncle he had back in Okinawa.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much. Welcome.
Welcome.
That was so funny. That just goes back to like his comedic, like,
exactly.
Perfect timing.
Yeah.
There was a Together Apart that just came out 6 days ago on Karate Kid Cobra Kai.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, they were reminiscing about Pat Morita, and they asked him where like the nose honk comes from. In Karate Kid 2, he like is going to kill a guy, but then he honks the nose. They're like, that was Pat. That was his humor. He was always making fart noises like, yeah, he seemed like a great guy.
Wow.
I looked up some of his backstory, like Pat Morita, and he had like a rare like spinal tuberculosis. Oh. I think I read. Or like a spinal, like some sort of spinal thing where it like kept him bedridden for a while. And he befriended this priest who, kind of showed him like joking around and stuff like that. And, then he like eventually, left wherever he was and went to California, and then, was like taking care of his family and started, doing stand up, and then, started getting bit parts on commercials, and then he got Happy Days and stuff like that. It's a really kind of fascinating life that he's led, and died in the 70s or
in his 70s. Yeah.
So very tragic, and I really want to look up some comedy bits that he did, because he seems like a very funny guy.
He does. Oh yeah.
There was a few pointers for you. The guy that played Butch was named Chad McQueen, which was the son of Steve McQueen,
who also had Steve McQueen took lessons from Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
Who like, there was like two people on set. There were like three people removed from Bruce Lee.
Wow.
Yeah. And he was one of them.
And the only kid that had any formal training was Bobby. Bobby was actually a black belt in karate, but his agent told him not to say anything.
Oh, wow.
Because they wanted actors that they could turn into karate stars, not karate stars they could make into actors. So who is the referee guy? Pat something?
Pat E. Johnson.
Yeah, I guess he was able to hide it for like 6 months, or sorry, 6 weeks. And then all of a sudden Pat's like, you know what you're doing, right? Like, he goes, yeah, I know what I'm doing. By that point, he already had the role. They were already filming. So yeah,
that's awesome.
That was a pretty cool little tidbit.
So he takes that leg blow, right? And he's got to get carried off. And we see this, like, another iconic scene in the locker room, if you will. It's kind of what it was, right? It's like a locker room that he's basically on. I don't know, Miss Miyagi. Like, and he slaps his hands together and he, you know,
jostles. Yeah, he digs in there.
Yeah, well, yeah. I guess he does the rubs his hands when he's back on the mat, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then he comes back, and yeah, like this is what solves it for him to come back out. And you're just like, he's still limping out there. It's like, dude, look, as somebody who's had leg injuries, okay.
Settle in.
You don't go back out there, okay? You don't do it. You don't know what's happened inside.
And you don't go back out and win.
Yeah, and you don't do that. Like, you might as well rip off your leg and just start beating him with it, because that's all it's good for. This is it. That's it at this point. Because there's no way. Like, you've torn something, you've sprained it. Now, you know, he's 16 years old.
Yeah.
You're a little bit more resilient still. But
from that.
I'm sorry. I don't buy it. This is the most unbelievable part of this movie, is when you get a knee injury. Now, no,
right there with you, man. When that happened, I'm like, AJ,
yeah,
I'm thinking of you right now. And I'm with you. I injured my knee, and it was not doing anything like that. It was not in a fight. I was fake fighting my friend.
Yeah.
And my knee is gone.
Yep.
It's never going to be the same.
No, I'm sorry. And I don't buy it. He takes another hit after Johnny does the cheap shot into his knee again. And that's when we get the iconic rub of the leg. Is it just him imbuing his, like, giving some will back to Daniel? You know what I mean? Like,
I think it's straight up Okinawan magic.
You think it's the magic?
I'm okay with that. Like, it's the only, like, fantasy part of the movie. And I just think it makes...
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this is what I think. Fan theory on the spot.
Okay.
Mike's fan theories.
Don't you worry about a thing.
I'm Sean.
Mr. Miyagi was Ryu and Ken's father from Street Fighter 2. So he had like the ability to like put out Hadoukens.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Am I reaching here, guys?
Okay.
Man, all right.
Look, I always give benefit of the doubt there, Mike.
Man, Mike's fan theories are really failing today.
So, I mean, like the end of this thing is just so iconic, and the music is so good. Bill Conti's music, like it's not really noticeable throughout the movie. I mean, like the there's like Miyagi's theme,
yep,
and everything like that, and then like there's the interspersed like soundtrack bits with you know, Cruel Summer and stuff like that. But this is where it really, really shines, and I wish there was more of it. Like,
yeah,
the victory scene is in, and I read that they originally wanted like the crowd to carry Daniel, yep, off like into the streets and everything like that, and they eventually made the executive decision to just have that freeze frame on Pat, which is in him nodding, which, yeah, is just like it's like seeing John Candy in, right, in Home Alone. It's just like, it's just such like a good moment, and seeing his face like proud and everything like that. It's a good moment for Pat, the actor himself, and just a perfect cap to this movie itself too. I love it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, now that we're through the movie, we like to now give it a rating compared to what it was the first time we saw it. So, AJ, you were like a 4.5. Mm-hmm. Upon rewatching now, Critical Eye, where were you?
7.
Oh, you went up?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I enjoy watching the movie again.
Yes.
I really do. I like going back and, you know, picking out all the things. I think it sounds like a very old person thing to do. I like reading it with the subtitles on, but it's true, because I like hearing all the things you couldn't hear because of like busted audio, yep, and stuff, yep, like that. So I really like going back and rewatching it and rehearing all of Mr. Miyagi's. So that's it.
What
so,
about you, Sean?
I pretty much think this movie's a masterpiece. I gotta be honest, it's a 10 for me. Like I was so taken with it, and like every, like all the scenes that stood out should have stood out to me, and they did in the perfect way. And like how we were talking about this movie is the same kind of way I was watching it, where like we're at the country club scene, and then like almost two scenes later we're at the finale. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, I don't know. I the way I remembered it in my head was so different from watching it this time. And I just think the layout of it is such a good pace, and the acting, all the chemistry between the actors is so good. And it deserves to have this long lasting, cultural kind of impact and continue long lasting with this new season of Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai is bringing a whole new generation of people back to this original Karate Kid series. And obviously this was the best one of all that they did.
For sure.
I actually feel like I went from a 10 to a 7. And the reason why is the last two times I watched it, I found myself getting very like kind of bored in the middle of the movie. There's some very great scenes there, but it's a slow movie.
It is kind of repetitive too. I was thinking that watching it while like my rock star game theory of yeah, strangers, like it does get kind of repetitive. Like he goes to Mr. Miyagi and then like has an interaction with Elizabeth Shue and then goes back to Mr. Miyagi. You know, it does kind of like have that thing to it, but I don't know. I was just taken with, yeah, it.
No, and I still think it's amazing. I think the nostalgia that usually keeps me there, I've passed that along to like Cobra Kai, because I feel like it's done better.
Well, now it's reversed. It's exactly kind of like, yeah, proving your theory of like maybe Daniel is kind of a dickhead.
That's maybe why I love Cobra Kai so much. It's, mm-hmm, it's like changed me going back. I'm like, I'm not rooting for Daniel now going back and watching this movie. Mm-hmm. I'm actually kind of like, fuck, man. Chill, yeah, out, bro. Johnny seems like a great guy. I kind of want to hang with Johnny.
Kind of misunderstood Billy Zabka. A little bit.
That was the thing. Like, I didn't necessarily want to bring too much Cobra Kai into it, but at the same time, like it is, I love that aspect of it, because when they flip the script like that, it just shows you that everyone is the hero of their own story.
Yep. Sure.
Anyone can be the villain.
Totally.
Like that's just the way that this is. And I love the way that they flipped it on its head, to do that. And this story is absolutely, this is like the perfect story to do to that.
You, yeah,
know? So yeah,
it's timeless. That's a great, yeah, way to put it.
That's why, I guess they've been coming to Ralph Macchio and William Zabka for like 30 years now.
Wow.
With reboot. Here's an idea. And they turned down every single one of them, much to their like, good job. Don't just take one to take one. But when this idea came to them for Cobra Kai, they said, that's perfect. Yeah. Like, this is such a great take on this franchise to take it into the new era. So I was one of those people that watched it on YouTube Red.
Yeah.
Same.
And I kept telling people, you got to watch it. And they're like, yeah, right. I'm not paying for YouTube Red.
I got premium or whatever just for
just
it.
Just for that.
Yeah. I wanted to watch it really bad, but I was one of those people. I was like, I'm not going to pay for another subscription right now. Yep. I'll wait for it to come around. And I did.
And sure enough, it was that good.
I loved it. I loved it. My parents started watching it. I got my parents hooked on it.
Actually, Mom, this is a reminder to you. I said you had to watch Cobra Kai, so you watch it now, okay? Yep.
Parents approved.
I never acted like when we were doing Home Alone and I was taken aback by when Macaulay Culkin called his mom a dummy.
Right.
The reason I didn't do any of that when I was younger is because my mom's a 4th-degree black belt in Taekwondo. Straight up, not even messing around. She will kick your fucking ass. Like, and I won't mess with her. So neither should you.
It all comes back around. Well, we got exciting announcement, something special for you moving forward. We're going to switch to bringing you content every week now instead of every 2 weeks. The movie reviews will still continue and take place every other week. So in 2 weeks, join us for The Wedding Singer.
Hey.
But next Wednesday, join us for the debut of the Confused Breakfast Mini Bites is what we're going to call it. This will be shorter episodes where we reminisce about non-movie related nostalgia-filled products, TV series, moments, things like that of the past. So tune in next week as we discuss Nickelodeon's Legends of the Hidden Temple.
It's going to be so good.
So AJ, take us out. Tell them how everybody can follow us.
Guys, all you have to do is listen to us on your favorite platform that you've already been doing. Make sure you're sharing with your friends. That's the big thing. Make sure you're sharing with your friends and telling them that you can find us anywhere that podcasts are consumable. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, Stitcher, and all the ones in between. Please leave a review, 5 stars, and write those reviews too. You'll get them shouted out on the podcast. At some point, you will get it shouted out on the podcast. I'm confident in that.
You will.
So
we'll get to you.
Yeah. But make sure that you are following along on social media as well. It's facebook.com/confusedbreakfast. Instagram is @confusedbreakfast. Twitter @confusedbfast.
Stick to Twitter.
Twitter. but there you can join in on the conversations. You can also leave reviews and everything there with us on Facebook and everything. Join in on more content that we're going to be sampling out to you. So
right on.
Where can everybody find you at, Sean?
I am at SeanPryor237 on Instagram, or you can find me at the website JohnnyCouldBeUnderstood.com. Misunderstood. As bad one. Go ahead.
AJAYVENS, AJ Venz, anywhere on social media or the internets. I'll be there.
And I have an online petition I'd like you to sign. It's strip Daniel LaRusso's title from 1984. Yeah. I've been compiling evidence, so I'd really like it if you could strip that. Sign the petition. Thank you very much. All right, let's get out of here. Bye.
Do or die.
Cobra Kai.